today seems very strange. Happiness in old age. Sure, no problem. That was the original thing I was going to talk about. But happiness in lockdown? I'm recording this in lockdown when millions of people around the world are worried and sad and frightened about the impact of a global pandemic. Depression and other mental health problems are surging, and the very word happiness seems kind of offensive in these circumstances. And yet, for those of us who are muddling along okay so far, it's worth looking again at this concept of happiness and gathering resources that, well, can help protect us. I'm Rachel McAlpine, I'm 80, and I'm talking to you. First of all, a poem that takes us back to a time before the coronavirus crisis. Remember this kind of lovely social occasion? Happiness at lunch. Five friends met for lunch when one was briefly back in town. The meal was good, but that was not the source of joy. The talk was good, but that was not the source of joy. All of us anticipated joy. We scheduled joy. We planned it and arranged it. We decided, we committed, and we chose it. We knew there would be joy, and so there was. We all have sorrow in our lives. Sorrow is not diluted or denied by joy. Sorrow settles in a corner on a sofa, watching, mellowing, taking a break. Five friends chatter and embrace and take their place and fill this space with joy. Now, at that particular gathering, I had an insight that I'm trying to hold on to right now. It was obvious that all of us were happy to be together, and we intended to relish every minute of the hour or so we would spend together before going our separate ways. Clearly, our happiness was deliberate. It wasn't an accident. We made it happen. 5 years ago, I enrolled in a MOOC. That's a massive open online course from the University of California in Berkeley. On the science of happiness, the science of happiness. Even though I wasn't unhappy, I wanted to learn all I could for the future. I was generally satisfied with my life, which is in itself apparently quite a good definition of happiness. I'd always thought that pursuing happiness was a really daft idea. Chasing after happiness? Haven't you got better things to do, girl? What would you do if you caught it? Bottle it? However, on the other hand, the current Dalai Lama says that the very purpose of our lives is to be happy. And it is true. It's what everybody wants. No, my reasoning for taking that course was that old age is fairly sure to bring new pain and sadness. That was purely theoretical, but fair enough. Now, COVID-19, a very real threat, ramps up the stress for everyone. How can anyone be happy when people we know are dying, when the future is completely unknown and out of our control? I did the course because I wondered what we know about happiness scientifically that would make a difference when the chips are down. What habits of body and mind increase our chances of being happy late in life? That course on the science of happiness taught me a fair bit, actually. But first, what do I mean by happiness? Well, you know how some people look to transcendental ecstasy and, of course, romance as the epitome of happiness. But that's not the view of happiness psychologists. They tend to define happiness as something rather tamer and safer, actually. We can think of it as a general satisfaction with life. even in times of sadness or stress, if you still feel okay about your life deep down. This sort of happiness is sustained by lots of little episodes, little moments that give you positive emotions, big emotions like ecstasy, and little wee ones like amusement. Contented might be a better word than happy. So with this sort of definition, we can aspire to happiness, even in very hard times. We can look at our life and say, yes, on the whole, it's turning out okay. We can notice happy moments through the day, even if half our mind is worrying about coronavirus. And these moments add up, if we let them, to a sort of hammock of happiness. And we can appreciate small emotions like affection or thankfulness. And also we can haul out our own resources for coping with troubles and acquire a few new ones. That's what I learned at the Science of Happiness course. I learnt that certain practices can increase our satisfaction with life. We don't have a set point that never moves. I had already started a decent exercise routine, which is like a magic pill for a bad mood. Nowadays, I restrict my news consumption to about an hour a day. I think I always did. But you have to be a bit more deliberate about it now when you're bombarded with news. And I make that my worry window. I can't stand following every tiny little twist in the saga. That would drive me crazy. And every day or two, I write down three good things that have happened. And I swap these with my sisters by email. That's a winner, that one. I'll read a book, especially a novel. Yes, there's nothing like a novel to get me out of my own world into another one. It's great. I try to help someone else every day. That sounds very goody two shoes, but look, even if it's just a phone call or a donation, it feels so good. And in reverse, of course, I reach out to someone else pretty much every day. I need help too. I feel fragile and forlorn sometimes, and there's nothing like a good chat on the phone with a friend to set me right. Anyway, that's what I do. I began this as a way to prepare for my very old age, but they really helped me in lockdown. I think now of all times, we need to be kind to each other and kind to ourselves. We're already doing our best, which is very, very good. It's important, I think, to abandon any idea of handling lockdown perfectly. It's not a competition. I'll finish with another poem. It's an old poem of mine, and I think it's just right for now when we're shut in our houses. It was written when I spent 3 months in Australia as a writer in residence. After a relationship collapsed, I rented this tiny, simple, neutral, bland, almost empty studio apartment. And I found that this place, being in this place with no history, was actively healing my broken heart. And I hope that you may also find in your home a source of safety and healing. You live here. A view with a room, pale blue, which does no harm. A window darkened with much looking. In this room, you are always light and tall. All is clean. Once clean, always clean. The blue is for demonstrating shadows. The queen is 56 today. In this room you gloat over poems, endlessly rearranging their hair and taking off tiaras. A strange room, lacking a stapler. On a vertical surface, poem, nothing except the reptiles of New South Wales and a loop of crystals, spraying colours inwards. Every day you want the sky to be blue and the grass to be green, and they are. You should be angry, but you are happy. 99% of you is happy, doubled in a sheet of mirror. You have three friends in here, a patch of bark, a grey cocoon, and your crystal beads. A strange room with no screwdriver, no drill, no need to drill. You fixed the plumbing, but you broke the lid. Take off your splints. The room is full of right angles. They will do. The sun is so hot you think the beams are burning. A crystal flicks, it will blaze forever. Now, it is time for the dark. Come into the room, dark. The dark is a blotter. The dark puts a gruff palm on beads and blue. You can't sleep with your crown on. The dark grows long blue hair all over you. The light flows out. The dark grows in through your long blue hair. Oh, come, star speckle of butter bright. The boats rock and rock because they are going nowhere. The dark will tell you nothing new. The moon is your harmless hammock. Your majesty, a threaded cocoon. Tomorrow there will be mirrors and slogans and broken cisterns. There will be children and crystals and the darkness of arms and legs. Do not be afraid. That's all for now. I hope you are not unhappy in the coronavirus pandemic, and that you find many tiny happinesses in lockdown and beyond. Thank you for listening. Bye now.